Welcome to the Christian Worship Hour and this classic broadcast from my dad, Pastor Salem. We are so thrilled to be in your homes today. Thank you for your heartfelt letters, emails, and messages to us. A friend in Iowa recently emailed us and said, "We are so blessed to have found CWH. We are blessed every Sunday with the hearing of God's Word. Thank you for what you do to keep the ministry going and spreading the gospel to the world." Another email from Minnesota reads, "Thank you so much for your continued services and wonderful messages, so easy to understand. I wish we would have found your ministry years ago. My husband and I watch every Sunday together to get us ready for the coming week. These letters warm our hearts. And when you give financially, pray, and tell others of CWH, you make this all possible." Today, my dad's message titled, "The Savior as the Lamb of God," dives into the Gospel of John chapter 19, where Christ is mocked, crucified, buried, and risen. It is our hope that today's message gives you comfort and brings you to Jesus. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. Here we are. We've lived through another week, and God has brought us on our way, and we gather together all over the world at one vocal, one central place, and that's the throne of God, the feet of Jesus. That's where we all gather together. And today we're going to be thinking about Jesus and about the Jesus as the Lamb of God, the wonderful Savior and as the Lamb of God. And so maybe call your friends and have them watch and listen in. In Psalm 145, we have these words, "I will extol thee, my God, O King. I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee. I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unchangeable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works." And oh God, we bow our heads in your presence and we come to worship you, the one true God. And we extol thee, our God, our wonderful, wonderful God, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so bless this service and speak to many hearts and glorify your name, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And Melissa's going to sing, got a song entitled, "Cleanse Me." And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill the word and make me pure within. Fill me with fire where once I burned in shame. Grant my desire to thy name. Lord, take my life and make it wholly thine. Fill my poor heart with thy great love divine. Take
Thank you, Melissa. And today we're going to be thinking about that cleansing, how Jesus went to the cross and by his blood paid for our sins. And that's where the cleansing comes. It doesn't come from anywhere else. There's only one way to get rid of sins, and that's the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. St. John writes in the first epistle, and he said, "The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin." And maybe you're thinking of some of your sins. I think of some of mine over the years. Some of them are bad. Some of them, they're all black. And we're sorry for every one of them. But every one is wiped away, and we'll never face them in this life or the life to come. Come to Jesus. If you haven't done it, I'm praying during this service that you will. Well, we get so many nice letters, and we want to share some of them with you today. And I hope that you'll write, and maybe you can get your pencil and paper ready. And then a little bit later, I'll give our address and all, and you can join us, and maybe you could write a letter. And it encourages us, and then it helps us know what to preach about. Maybe somebody's worried about something, and God will lay that on our heart, and we'll bring a sermon about it. And so, yes, we read every letter we get. And so just thank you for writing. Well, here's a letter from Tulsa, Oklahoma. And they write, "Your Sunday morning services here have truly been a godsend to us. Since my husband's hospitalization with congestive heart failure, he's not often able to go to church. What a blessing he gets from your wonderful service. May your work continue to bring God's presence close to us. With love and prayers." And I notice this little line she's got, to bring God's presence close to us. We do that. That's the Christian worship hour. That's our business. You know how we do it? We use the Word of God. We just preach that Bible and quote that scripture. And that's the living Word of the living God. And He speaks to us through His Word by His Spirit. And you bet we get closer to God when we have these services because it's saturated with the precious Word of God. Praise the Lord for the Bible. Now, here's one from Bronx, New York. It says, "I don't know your name. I was just catching the last of your sermon. I like the way you praise the Lord. Oh, my, you gave God His praise. I like hearing worship of Jesus in God's name. You took me there in just a few words. I only saw maybe 10 minutes of the program, yet I felt as though I'd been lifted. I enjoyed every minute. I've never written to anybody for their sermons. This is my first letter. I've never seen you before. I'll look for your sermons now. God bless you in Jesus' name. Pray for me and my family." Bronx, New York. Isn't that a beautiful letter? And no, we're going to see each other in heaven. And you can see my face now, but I can't see you. But when we get to heaven, we'll see, and we'll be all changed, and we'll be in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And we'll have that that'll be a great time. So I'm just so excited about seeing so many of you folks. And so you just pray for us. We'll pray for you. And in a little while, we'll all get together. Here's Traverse City, Michigan. "I don't know how to spell suicide. I was always bad when I was in school. Please send me the booklet on suicide. I talk to God. I bawl Him out and tell Him I'm sorry. People look to me like I'm crazy, like I am sorry for swearing or saying something bad about someone. Pray for my daughter because she is in pain all the time. Thank you. Love and prayers." Well, here's a dear soul, and we've written to this person and encouraged her. Some people have heavy burdens, heavy load, and you got to learn to take them to Jesus. But you know what? You can't take them to Jesus until you know Jesus. Well, you say, "I don't know Jesus." How do you get to know Jesus? What you do is this. You just tell Jesus, "I'm a poor lost sinner. I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins." You say, "Well, I don't know the thee and the thou, and how do I use that?" You don't do thee and the thou. You just talk to him but just like you would another person, because he is a person. He's just a person. He's a man. He's God and man. He's a person, and he's in heaven. You just talk to him and just ask him to come into your heart, to take away your sins, and promise to live for him the best you can. Jesus told, remember what Jesus says, go and sin no more. And that doesn't mean we're never going to sin, but it means we try not to sin. We just try to live for Jesus. See, you just pray that prayer right now, and Christ is in your life, and you'll have hope and help. Here's Lecompton, Kansas. Your service is always a bright light in a very dark world. God bless you all. It's a bright light because it's the light of the world. It's Jesus Christ and his wonderful light of the world, his gospel message. That's why it's a bright light. And let me just tell you something, what we do. We have a little publication we put out every month called The New Song. And it's a Bible study. And this month, the month of March, we're talking about how that this wonderful Jesus, the wonderful, glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so you write to us. I'll give the address in just a few minutes here. And you get ready. And let's tell you, it's free in postpage. We ought to charge for it. It's so good, but we don't charge. Send it free. We're really good people here. Oh, here's one that I really enjoy. Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And he writes, and this is a gentleman writing. I know you're familiar with sheep, so here's a sheep story. The teacher asked little Eddie a question. She said, Eddie, if you had 20 sheep in a pen and you let 5 out, how many would be left? Eddie says, none. The teacher said, Eddie, you don't know your math. Eddie said, maybe not, but I know my sheep. You know, Eddie has it right on. If one goes out, they all goes out. I just read not long ago about from the Washington Post. They have a story, the Washington Post, and they tell about a village near Givas, in eastern Turkey. And while the shepherds were eating their breakfast, one of the sheep jumped off of a 45-foot cliff to its death. Yeah, one sheep. Then as the stunned shepherds looked on, the rest of the flock followed. In all, 1,500 sheep mindlessly stumbled and jumped over the cliff following that one sheep. Washington Post got the story. That's exactly right. And you know something else? When God wanted to talk about us as sinners drifting away, he says, all we like, horses, cattle, dogs, cats, sheep. All we like, sheep, have gone astray. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And so you are drifting away. You'll never get back till you get to Jesus. But Jesus is the good shepherd. And you can be a sheep of his flock. And when we're a sheep of his flock, he watches over us. And he cares for us. And he leads us. And he guides us. Here's one, Frazee, Minnesota. Your spiritual sermon drives me to be a better person every week. God bless the trails you ride and walk. And then he says, cowboy up with God. God bless you. Cowboy up with God means get with God. Travel with God, walk with God, travel with him. And then one more that we have that I want to share with you is in Marshalltown, Iowa. It says, I have shared your DVDs with others and have gotten others to watch your service. Some of those friends have passed away with peace from your show, leading them to Christ. I also have a cousin who suffered depression and guilt after her divorce. She started watching your show and is depression-free. That is, in Jesus, she found help and strength. And, oh, my friend, that's what we need so much. We need that so bad. We just have to have Jesus. You will never really have peace and joy in this world if you don't have Jesus. But Jesus loves you, and he's not willing that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. He wants every one of us to turn to Jesus. And I hear people say, oh, I've got so many sins. You don't know how many sins I got. They're so bad. But I'm going to tell you, if you just come to the dear Lord Jesus, he'll help you. He'll give you strength and help. God bless you, everyone. So we need to hear from you, and we hope that you'll write to us. and help us in the work. Our address is the Christian Worship Hour. And we are in a post office box 2002. And we're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. I hope you'll write to us, and I hope you'll help us in the work, because we have to pay our way. And so you need to just say, now, is this something that I need to support, dear God? And talk to Jesus and to ask the Father in heaven, say, should I help this ministry? Or do you want me to support this ministry? And then just do what he says. And maybe you're way off, maybe way in some far distant part of the world. And you say, oh boy, if I was in the United States, I'd sure make a gift. Well, let me tell you, you can do it wherever you're at. And here's how you do it. You go to that computer and you get the Christian Worship Hour. And on there, it'll say ChristianWorshipHour.com, ChristianWorshipHour.com. And then it'll say donate. And then you hit that. It'll say PayPal. And you can put on any amount you want. And if you got money in the bank, of course, you put that on there. And we will get it in American money, United States currency, and we'll pay our bills. So you can help us that way. And we do hear from different countries, and we're very thankful for that. So we just want to thank you for that. Now, I've written a little booklet that I want to tell you about, and it's entitled, Can a Christian Lose Their Salvation? And I guess maybe we get a lot of questions, but I think probably we get that question asked more than any other. Can a Christian lose their salvation? And the answer is absolutely not. And so we have a little booklet, it's 12 pages. And it's all scripture, all out of the Bible. It's not what men think or philosophers think or the politicians or somebody else or the preachers. It's what God says. And if you write to us, we'll send it free and postpaid. But we have to send it on a free will offering basis. So if you can help us, if you can pay something, then we'd be sure to include that. But I know we hear from many people who are in prison and they just don't have access to money. And they don't have a lot they can spend. And yet they want to know about their salvation. Am I going to heaven? Am I sure I'm going to heaven? Can I know for sure? Yes, you can know for sure. And so you write to us, and we'll send it free and postpaid. We have people that are in living homes that don't have any money. We have people on Social Security that are just struggling. It's an awful struggle. And so we'll send it free and postpaid. But if you can, you send a contribution. And you send it to the Christian Worship Hour and just put down salvation. We'll know what it means. You don't need to write it all out. Just say salvation and we'll send it free and postpaid. You write the Christian Worship Hour, Post Office Box 2002 in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then when you send your gift, let me say a word about that. You can know for sure that it's being used, it's deposited right, it's receipted right, and it's spent right, because we're a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, and they check us like a hawk, and they're all looking over our shoulder all the time, and that's just fine. We have nothing to hide. It's all in the open, and they've never had a reprimand from that organization. And so when you send money to the preaching of the gospel, that's exactly where it'll go. So I'm going to pray now, and Jan's going to play, and then you just ask the Lord, Lord, what should I do? What do you want me to do? And then he'll show you. So Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for the privilege of walking with Jesus and the wonderful privilege of telling the whole world, telling others about Jesus. And maybe there's somebody, Lord, that's drifted away today and they're deep in sin. They want to come back to Jesus. Maybe there's someone who's never been to Jesus and they think, oh, he'd never accept me. But you say, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Just help them to come. And just thank you, Lord, for all who are helping us carry on the ministry through their prayers and their gifts. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. Well, we're reading from the Gospel of John today, chapter 19. And so you can turn to chapter 19, Gospel of John, chapter 19. And in our prayer, we're going to pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in North Korea. And so every week we pray for another country. So this is going to be North Korea, and we hear some awful stories coming out of North Korea, awful suffering of the people of God. Oh, God, we just wish Jesus would come again and put an end to this horrible, the work of the devil that's all over the world. And the devil isn't going to stop till Jesus comes, but Jesus will stop him, and he'll put him in the lake of fire, and he'll be there with his angels, his evil angels called there. Angels are demons, what they are, forever and ever. So John chapter 19, and beginning with the 23rd verse, and this deals with the crucifixion of our wonderful Lord. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture did they cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it up to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, when we read this story, our hearts are so touched that this beautiful, sinless, perfect Son of God, your Son, had to go through all of the indignities and the suffering and the scourging and the mockery and die on that cross. And he didn't die for his sins because he had none. Jesus never sinned in word or thought or in deed. He was God, is God. And so he took our sins, and that sin paid it with his own blood. And so we thank you. And we pray that as we read this story, dear Lord, that first of all, it'll bring the people that don't know you, it'll bring them to the cross, bring them to Jesus. And we pray, dear Jesus, that the rest of us will take comfort, those who know you will take comfort from this scripture and challenged, and help us to rededicate our life to you and to give you whatever we have. If we got an ounce of energy, may it all be given to Jesus. We just pray that, dear Lord. And then we pray for our brothers and sisters in North Korea. Lord, some of them are in horrible prisons. It's worth it. Prisons is worth worse than death. Many of them have died, being beheaded and killed in other ways, like sheep led to the slaughter, as Isaiah said. And, oh, God, we just pray that you'll... We thank you for those who give their life to you, because in a second, they're in your presence and they wear the martyr's crown and they're done with their suffering and they're in glory. But, oh, those who are left behind, the wives and the children and the mothers and the friends and the loved ones and the grandparents and all, comfort their hearts and help them to stand true. And oh God, if it comes to America, help us to be strong and to stand true if we have to. And may it all be to the wonderful glory of the wonderful Savior, because we pray it in His name. Amen. God bless you, and God bless those, our brothers and sisters all over the world. Barb has a song, and I just love this song. The old rugged cross made the difference. So God bless you, Barb.
Was a life filled with aimless desperation, without hope, what the shell of a man. Then a hand with a nail print stretched downward. Just one touch, then a new life began. And the old rugged cross made the difference in a life bound for heartache and defeat. Barren walls echoed harshness and anger. Little feet run in terror to hide. Now those walls ring with love, warmth, and laughter. Since the giver of life moved inside, there's a room filled with sad, ashen faces. Without hope, death has wrapped them in gloom. But at the sight of a saint, there's rejoicing. For life can't be sealed in a tomb. Oh, the old rugged cross made the difference in a life bound for heartache and defeat. Praise Him forever and ever, for the cross made the difference for me. Yes, the cross made the difference for me.
Thank you, Barb. God bless you. And that's what we're going to preach about, the cross, the old rugged cross. And, you know, we're in our series of sermons now. We have the last week we had a sermon on the beautiful Savior. And Jesus is so beautiful and he's so wonderful. And if you know him, you'll love him. If you don't know him, if you don't love him, it's because you don't know him. And so we love Jesus and trust Jesus. And now this Sunday or this week, we're talking about the Savior as the Lamb of God going to the old rugged cross and paying for the sins of the world. And then the following Sunday, next Sunday, we're going to be looking at the Savior as the King of Kings. And that's what we call Palm Sunday in the Christian church, Palm Sunday, where we look at Jesus as a king and how he needs us to help him in the wonderful work of redemption. And then the following Sunday, Easter Sunday, the Savior as the risen Christ. And then that following Easter, we're going to have a sermon on trusting the risen Christ. Oh, I love to preach about Jesus. I've been preaching about Jesus now for 71 years, almost 72 years. I never get tired of it. As a matter of fact, when I preach about Jesus now, I get more excited than ever before. He is so wonderful. He is so glorious. And he loves us and he loves you. And you say, well, he doesn't love me. I'm having hard times. Well, the devil is going to give us all hard times, whether we love Jesus or not. We're going to have trouble. Jesus says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. But he says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So, yeah, you're going to have troubles. You say, well, my sins are so bad, he'll never take me. But St. Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners. And he saved me, and he can save anybody if you just come to Jesus. So we're looking about the cross. Now, you know, the cross wasn't something that God figured out at the last minute. Jesus had been appointed to die on the cross before the foundation of the earth, before God ever made the earth or any man or anything else, before God created Adam and Eve, before Jesus Christ was appointed to die. God knew that they would sin. He knew created Adam and Eve, and God knew that they were going to sin just as sure as day. And he knew their sin, if they had sin, they could never enter heaven. They could, if they had one speck of sin, they could never enter heaven. And so before he created Adam, he knew all of these things. And so he says that what he's going to do, I'll have a plan. You know, the cross wasn't some afterthought with God. I heard a sermon one time where God created Adam and Eve and everything was fine. And then they sinned. And then God says, now what am I going to do? Well, I'll have to send my son. That is a nonsense. God knew all. You never said God doesn't have any afterthoughts. God is never caught by surprise. God knows it all. And he knew exactly what was going to happen, but he created them anyway. And he loved them even though he knew they're going to sin. He loved them so much that he gave his son. How could he do it? I couldn't give my son to die for the sins of the world. But you know why? I just have a finite love. God has a love, an infinite love that goes beyond anything we can comprehend. And he gave his son to pay for our sins. That's where the cross came from. And so we read on. Jesus is born of the Virgin Mary. He grows to manhood. He performs his miracle. He completed the work of his ministry. And then after all of that was done, his work as the ministry was done, he said something. He said, my hour has come. Mine hour has come. Jesus said that all during his ministry. He says, my time has not come. My time has not come. Now he says, my time has come. He's talking about the cross. All the way through his life, he talked about the cross. That's the main reason he came, was to go to the cross. He came to teach and do miracles and all of the rest, but he came most of all to die on the cross. And so from the human point of view, when you read about this cross, it just makes your heart ache. But from the divine point of view, I wonder how God felt when he gave his son, the heartbroken heart of God, and how he felt and how Jesus felt when he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? In the complete circle of eternity, God had never forsaken his son, ever, ever. And he never will. But he did one time on the cross of Calvary, and he turned his back on his own son and let him die the torments of hell on that cross. So Jesus goes to the cross, and then you look at and in the chapter 19th chapter, we read part of it today. We read how that Pilate is taking Jesus and putting condemning him to the cross. And so Pilate examines Jesus privately in his chambers. And when he talks to him and visits with him and all and examines him, he says, why, he's not guilty at all. And so he goes out. And in John 18, verse 38, Pilate says, I find no fault in him at all. There's nothing wrong with Jesus Christ. In other words, he says, I declare him not guilty. Find no fault in him at all. Nobody could find fault in Jesus. And Pilate examines him. And so then Pilate's going to set him free. But there's a great cry from the mob. They want Jesus Christ crucified. And so Pilate then he says, oh, I've got a plan. He says, I'm going to make an offer here. He says, I'm going to set, so it was usually they'd set somebody free, maybe some of those crucifixions. And he says, I have a notorious murderer. I'll set Barabbas. He says, do you want me to set Barabbas free or Jesus free? We're going to set somebody free. Who do you want to get free? And Barabbas was a notorious murderer. And they, so he makes that, and then the people cry back, and they want Jesus put to death. They want Barabbas set free. And then something happened that you can't believe. It's impossible to believe, but it's true. It's in the scriptures. This is what he did. Pilate, after they said that they didn't want to set Barabbas free, they wanted Jesus to die on the cross, Pilate had Jesus scourged. And of all of the horrible, idiotic, crazy things that they can imagine, it shows that Pilate was a downright scoundrel and a coward. He had no right to scourge Jesus because he had just said, I find no guilt in him at all. He's not guilty. And then he has him scourging. He turns him over to the Romans to scourge him. You know, they talk about the Jews and the crucifixion. The Gentiles were there too, brother, sister. You and I were there because the Jews couldn't have put a hand on him if it wouldn't have been for the Roman Empire, the power of the Roman Empire. It was the Gentiles, they were there too. And you were there and I was there too because our sin put him on the cross. Don't blame the Jews, they were there, but so are you and so is I and so is the rest of the world. And so this Jesus goes, and after the, and then they're scourging. And the scourging was a terrible ordeal. As a matter of fact, it was so terrible that sometimes people died on the scourging. And they would sometimes tear out part of their organs and gouge out their eyes because it wasn't just a whip. It had stones and little rocks at the ends of sharp flint rocks that would cut. And many times these people died from the scourging. And after the scourging, they make him a crown of thorns. They jam it on his head. And those thorns can be 3 inches long and they can be sharp as a needle. And they pierce his brow and the blood comes out. And then after that, they put on him a dirty old cast-off purple robe that's been laying, it's vermin eaten, and it's got moth, it's got all kinds of smell on it and dirt and corruption. And they take that dirty old gown, and they say, you're a king, you got to wear a purple gown. And so they place that over his shoulders, and then they mock him, and they taunt him. And in John's gospel, he doesn't talk about this, but the other gospel's writers do write, and they say they laughed at him, and they'd slap him in the face. They prophesy who hit you. They hit him over the head. Prophesy who hit you. If you're Christ, come down from the cross. All the evil things they could do, all the indignities. And Pilate then, says, I find no fault in him and all. And then he brings out Jesus, and Jesus is bleeding, and he's suffering, and he's humiliated, and he's wearing the ugly, dirty, cast-off, vermin-eaten robe. And Pilate shouts out to them, behold the man. What was Pilate doing? Pilate was doing something that was all illegal. It was all unlawful because he's just declared him an innocent man, not guilty. And he's giving him all of these terrible things. And Pilate was hoping against hope in his heart when the crowd saw the innocent Jesus and they saw him scourged and lacerated and beating and thorn crowned and bruised and humiliated. He was hoping in his heart that God would let him free, that the people would let him free. And they say, "Behold the man." He says, "Here he is. Can he go free?" And what did they say? "Crucify him, crucify him." They won't stop for anything. He hated Jesus and what he stood for and his righteousness and his purity and all. And so at the end, they have to take Jesus. And so Pilate is at his wits' end. He's trying to find some way that he doesn't have to crucify the wonderful Savior. But he has nowhere to turn. And you know why he was at his wits' end? Because he was a coward. He could have stood up and said, "I am the Roman governor, and you're going no further. He's innocent, and I'm setting him free." He wouldn't do it. He was afraid of the people. And I'm going to tell you, it's a sad thing when you're afraid of the people. And you know, when Jesus told Jeremiah to preach, and he says, "I want you to go, and don't be afraid of the people," is what he says, Jeremiah 1, verse 8. He says, "Do not be afraid of their faces, for I'm with you to deliver you, says the Lord." I wonder how many times we don't have people preach about hell and about the wrath of God and the horrible things that are going to happen to the unsaved and the wickedness of sin and the awful things in the world, being afraid of the faces of the people. When you're afraid of the people, you're nothing but a coward. And I'm going to tell you something. You can just do all you want. And you can do like Pilate. You can try to get around it. You can try to evade it. But you're playing the part of a coward, a brazen, low-down coward. And so Pilate tries again. Now here he is. He's been, all these things have all happened to him. He's about to die from that scourging. But he's afraid of the people. He tries one more time. And St. John says, Pilate says, "Shall I crucify your king?" And Pilate cannot believe his ears, because this is what they said: "We have no king but Caesar." Now, this is the Jewish people here, and God bless their soul. They say, "We have no king but Caesar." And there wasn't anything farther from the truth on the face of the earth, because their only king was God. And that was the history of Israel. Since day one, the Jews had no king but God in heaven, and they knew that. And they had for 2,000 years believe that this is a God and worship one God. "We have no God but God, Jehovah." And now they say, "We have no king but Caesar." And so the whole crowd goes, and they take him and they crucify him. And Pilate, in his exasperation, he's done all that he can. And he says, then he says, "Take him." So the scripture says, he delivered him to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and they led him away. And John writes, "And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him. And two others with him, on one side, on either side one, and Jesus in the center." And so here it is, it's happening so fast. He delivers them up and the people take him. And the Romans, it was the Romans that nailed the cross. The Romans stood the cross. They drove the nails. They pierced his side. It was the Romans that scourged him. They, the Gentiles, were in it just as much as the Jew. And we need to keep that in mind. And Cicero, the Roman statesman, philosopher, wrote this. He said about the crucifixion. He said, "It's the most cruel, shameful of all punishments. Let it never come near the body of a Roman citizen, nay, not even near his thoughts or ears or eyes." And so he's given over to this horrible death. And it was customary that the one who would be crucified would have to carry his own cross to the place of crucifixion. And as far as we can tell, it would have been from Pilate's praetorium to the place of his skull would have been approximately about a mile. And so Jesus is to carry his cross a mile. And sometimes if they were so weak they couldn't carry the cross, they would have him carry the beam, just the cross beam. And by that they were saying, "I'm guilty. I'm deserving what I'm getting." and they would make him carry that beam. But Jesus, oh, God bless his name. He was so weak and he was so terrible. It's such a horrible experience that we read along the way. They get a man, Simon of Cyrene, and they compelled him to carry the cross and take it to Calvary, and there Jesus died. And then you know something? It just seems like this was so wonderful that Jesus would do that for us. And yet it was so terrible to die on the cross. And when you write about the cross, all the gospel writers, all four of them, they don't hardly say anything about the cross. They tell about the suffering and all, and then he's crucified and they're done with it. They don't even want to talk about it. They don't want to even record it. But Pilate has one more thing yet to do. And he puts up a sign over the cross and says, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." And they didn't want that. They don't put that on there. But Pilate, he seems like he's had enough of it. He's so sick, he's almost getting brave. And he says, "What I've written, I've written. I'm not taking it down and I'm not changing it." And he wrote it in Hebrew and Greek and Latin, the three languages of the day. The Hebrew was the language of religion. The Greek was the language of philosophy. The Latin was the language of the law. And Jesus Christ is crucified between two criminals. And you know why he was in the middle? Because they always put the worst in the middle. And that's where they put the blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, if you can imagine it. Jesus did that. And so Jesus is crucified. And then very little is said after that. Except Paul starts to write, and he talks about that cross. And he says in Galatians, "God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ." All of a sudden, instead of being so hideous, it's a beautiful thing to him. And so we wear the cross today. And some people wear the cross because they love Jesus. And some people wear the cross just as an ornament. They don't even know what it stands for. And it became a thing of glory. And so the thing that was so terrible became a thing of glory. And the reason is because Jesus was there. And it was Jesus who suffered and bore that cross. And this wonderful Savior then died for us. The cross is the means of our salvation. The cross is the basis of our salvation. The cross is the only hope of our salvation. And if it wasn't for Jesus Christ on that old rugged cross, you and I would be in the pit of hell. And we'd never get out because nobody comes out of hell. After the grave, it's all settled. There's no cross after the grave. There's no grace after the grave. There's no love of God after the grave. After death, the Hebrews were told, after death, the judgment. You're in heaven or you're in hell when you die. And that will never, ever be changed. But we glory in that cross. And St. Paul said, "We preach Christ crucified. We brag about it. We preach about it. We love it because he is our Savior, our wonderful Savior." Once we couldn't even talk about it. One time we didn't even want to think about it. We wanted to take it out of our mind. Now that's all we think about. That's what the Christian faith took, the cross. Why, they could have taken the manger. That would have been something. Or they could have taken the boat from which Jesus preached. Or they could have taken 100 different things. Well, what did they pick of all the symbols that they could pick for the cross of Christianity? Was the cross, the old rugged cross. Jesus and the cross. You know, in a prison, in a maximum security prison, the worst offenders, the murderers, the robbers, the rapists, the prisoners themselves wanted to put out a little, at Christmas, they wanted to put a picture, a little story, act out a little play about the coming of Jesus, the birth of Jesus. And so they had to use only the things in the maximum security prison. They couldn't take anything in, just what they had. And so they found a mop, and the old mop they used for Mary's hair, and a ski mask with cotton balls glued on socks was used for the sheep. At prison, socks were issued twice a year, and so some of the prisoners gave their socks, something that they really needed. A discarded cardboard box was used for the cradle, and everything was in its place, and the prisoners were all excited. And then somebody says, "Oh, what are we going to use for a baby?" And there is no possible way to have a baby there. And so they're going to go, and so they have their program. and they have the performance, and the chaplain comes and he says, I have the baby. And they wrapped it up, and they didn't see what he wrapped up. And then after they took the play, and they went through the play, and then when they came to open up the wrap, unwrap the baby and show the baby, they unwrapped it, and it was a cross from the chaplain's office, a cross wrapped up in that beautiful blanket. And don't you know, when Jesus was born, there was a cross there. There was a cross all wrapped up when Jesus came. He didn't come and then find out he was going to die. He came to die for you and for me. That's what he did. And when Jesus was born, that cross was wrapped up in the blanket, wrapped up with him. And he went to the cross and he died. And that ought to bring us to Jesus. And it ought to bring us so that we accept Jesus and say, dear Jesus, thank you for doing that for me. If you haven't accepted Jesus, I don't care where you are, what you've done, you pray right now and say, dear Jesus, I thank you for dying for my sins, and I ask you to forgive me and to wash them away in your blood, and I'll serve you the best I can, and thank him because he will be in your heart. And to those of us who know Jesus, we need to rededicate our life. And we need to give everything we have to Jesus Christ, and he needs to be first and foremost. Caesar Alexander wrote a beautiful little poem. She puts it like this. There is a green hill far away without a city wall, where the dear Lord was crucified to die to save us all. We may not know, we cannot tell what pains he had to bear, but we believe it was for us he hung and suffered there. He died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good, that we might go at last to heaven saved by his precious blood. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Oh, dearly, dearly has he loved, and we must love him too, and trust in his redeeming blood and try his works to do. Do you have the cross? Have you come to the cross? You come to Jesus. You make that prayer, and then you write to us, and we'll send you some literature, and we'll help you. You write to the Christian Worship Hour. And the box is easy to remember. It's 2002, box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. We'll send you some literature and get you started in the Christian life. And if you drifted away from the Lord, you come and let us know. And while you're writing to us, you help us in our work, because we need your help to carry on. We need your help. And if you're thinking about your salvation and you wonder, sometimes people say, I don't know for sure. I'm hoping. Now you can write to us and just write salvation. I want the little book on salvation. And it tells you how you can know for sure that you have Jesus. How you can know for sure that he stood at the door and knocked, and you opened the door and came in, and how that he said, I will come in. And this little book that is filled with scripture, it's not guesses, it's not somebody's idea, it's not what I think or the politicians think or the government thinks, it's what God says. You write to us, the Christian Worship Hour. Those of you on shortwave, you get this down. When you write to us, we want to hear from you. From all over the world, we want to hear. We'll answer your letters wherever you are. You be sure to do that. I'm going to pray for you all now. And pray, dear Jesus, may many everywhere, may multitudes just say, dear Jesus, says, come into my heart. Whosoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. You're not willing that any should perish. You want them to be saved. Help them to come. And to those on beds of sickness, and those who are shut-ins, and those who are weary, and those who are sad, and the young people, Lord, trying to make decisions in life on what to do and how to live, and others, oh, Heavenly Father, just help us all to reach out to you, because you're reaching out to us. Help us to take you into our heart and trust you with all of our might and all of our soul. And we'll always thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. We're just really happy we could be with you today. We just thank you for opening the doors for us to your residence, or your place where you might be. I hope you'll pray for the Christian Worship Hour. We want to honor Jesus, and we want to help His people, and we want to help the unsaved, those who don't know Jesus. We want them to find Jesus and find peace and joy and happiness. And I'm not saying you won't have troubles and trials, because everybody has them. But you'll have a way of fighting them or standing them and going through them and living through them, trusting and loving Jesus. So thank you for being with us. And we just pray you'll have a good week. Maybe this week Jesus will come. If not, we'll try to be back next week, Lord willing. And we'll be praising the wonderful, precious Lord who died for us and rose again. In Jesus' name.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.